Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the Gospel according to John chapter 6, and we will read at verse 27. John chapter 6 and verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the way of salvation. He is the bread of life. Apart from him, we have no life. But is this a truth that we not only understand in our minds, but know and feel in our hearts? Do we strive to come to Christ? Do we enjoy communion with him? Do we endeavor with all our might to have Christ for ourselves? The Lord Jesus is teaching us very plainly and very clearly that this is what we should strive after. This is what we should work hard for, to have Christ, to have him above all things. Labor not for the perishing food, but labor for that which endures into everlasting life, for the spiritual food. Do not be seeking the loaves as if that were all to be enjoyed. And do not seek the true religion merely to enjoy outward benefits, but seek the salvation of your soul. Seek Christ, who is the bread of life, that you would have him, believing in him, and you would have him forever. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. With the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, in the light of this text and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the low value of earthly things. The low value of earthly things. Secondly, the labor for everlasting fullness. The labor for everlasting fullness. And thirdly, the Lord who is sealed by God the Father. For him hath God the Father sealed. God has set Jesus apart as the only way of salvation, the only way to the Father, the only way to enjoy everlasting happiness. First of all, the low value of earthly things. Secondly, the labor for everlasting fullness. And thirdly, the Lord as sealed by God the Father. The low value of earthly things. We see that the Jews had a high value of earthly things. They did not accept the fact that the things of life, of this life rather, is infinitely below the things of eternity. They were following Christ for the wrong reasons. They had witnessed the miracles of the loaves, the 5,000 who were fed by only 5 loaves of bread, and they were filled with that, and their earthly need was satisfied. And so they recognized the power of Christ, and they thought they should make him a king. They were looking to him for earthly prosperity. And that night, Jesus, as you know, had walked on the water to the other side. He first walked to where the disciples were in the boat, and then they made it ashore on the other side. But the people had not seen that happen. They had seen the disciples leave without Jesus, and that was the only boat that was on the shore. And so they think that they can go to the other side on other boats and arrive before Jesus would arrive. And then they see that he has arrived, that he was already there. And how did he get there? Did he walk around the head of the lake all throughout the night? That was the only way they could conclude that he would have arrived before them. But so they're asking, how did you arrive here? Whence camest thou? And Jesus does not answer their question. He doesn't explain to them that he did not walk around the northeast side of the lake. No, he didn't do that. That he did walk on the water to meet the disciples in the boat. He didn't say anything about that. He doesn't satisfy their curiosity. He speaks to their spiritual needs. He says to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." He is telling them now about what they need to have spiritually, what will satisfy them spiritually and what will last to all eternity. And he says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." So he is pointing to them their spiritual needs, showing them what matters most, what is far important, far more important than anything in this world, and that is the eternal world and their spiritual needs. They have souls on the way to eternity, and they are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he explains to them first that they were seeking him for the wrong reasons. Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They were following after him not so that their souls could be saved, but so that their stomachs could be filled. They looked to him as an earthly king, not a spiritual king, which he was, but an earthly king, which he was not. He was not going to take the place of Caesar or any other rulers in Jerusalem. That is not why he came. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." So the Jews were looking to him to satisfy their earthly needs. And that is not the main purpose of Christ's coming. They were looking to him for earthly prosperity. And that is a dangerous thing. If our profession of the true religion is motivated by outward things, that is not good for us. That is harmful for our souls. It is a spiritually dangerous thing to seek the things of Christ merely to have earthly benefit, to keep a name for ourselves, to have a good reputation, to have earthly success, rather than spiritual and eternal blessing. Well, we should ask ourselves, the heart, knowing that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, are we diligent in the means of grace for the right reasons? Or is it only for temporal good? Having a name to live, as Jesus warned the church in Sardis, having a name to live and yet are dead. God calls us to search our hearts. We should examine ourselves. Are we cleaving to the dust of this world while we are professing to seek Christ as for our Savior, holding on to religion, holding on to the things of the Bible just to receive earthly blessings, seeking God's blessing on outward things in our hearts? Yes, we're to pray for our daily bread, but that is one petition of many. We're praying, we should be praying, "Thy kingdom come," and that God's kingdom would be established in our hearts. Are we truly seeking Christ as our portion, as our happiness, as our Savior for time, now, here on earth, and for eternity that stretches out before us? Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. So Jesus is explaining to them, yes, and first, that they were seeking him for the wrong reasons. Now he is telling them what they should seek above all things, what they should labor for, what they should work hard for, what they should diligently pursue. And that is not the food of this world, not the things of this life which perish, but for the meat or the food which endures to everlasting life. That is what we should seek above all things. The Jews were pursuing temporal bread, but he is telling them to seek eternal bread, that which endures to everlasting life. They cared more about earthly things, but Christ is saying to us all that we should value spiritual things more than all else. He says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Of course, he does not mean don't labor at all for earthly goods. We have to interpret scripture in the light of other scriptures. If our interpretation contradicts other clear passages or teaching of God's word, then we know that our interpretation is wrong. So to say that we're not to labor at all for the meat which is perishing for our earthly benefit, that would contradict other scriptures. For example, Paul, who says, if any man will not eat, neither shall he work. If any man will not work, neither shall he eat. So the Lord is not telling us don't work at all. That's, of course, completely unscriptural. But we must not labor for the food that perishes as if that were all that mattered, as if that were the only objective, as if the things of this life were the highest good. They are not. Our earthly existence is not all that matters. Temporal things do not matter most. The soul matters most. Our spiritual good matters most. The witness of Christ matters most. The kingdom of God, the expansion of his kingdom, that is what is most important. The salvation of our souls are infinitely more important than all the earthly goods that we could acquire in this world. Coming to Christ is infinitely more urgent. The Lord is teaching us not to seek the things of this life as our highest aim. These things should take second place. It should always be that way in our minds. Second place, Christ and his kingdom, first place. The things of this world should not consume all our mental and emotional resources. That should be reserved for the things of Christ. We need to guard against an earthly attitude where we have spiritual things jostled out of place, and all that is in front of us is the things of this life. We should feel in our souls while we are busy with work that spiritual things are the most weighty things. They should have our most serious attention. The things of this life, in comparison with the eternal world, are of little value. Little value. They're perishing. How can you measure the difference between spiritual and lasting things and that which is disintegrating and will turn to dust? That includes our body. We're to take care of our bodies. We're to keep the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But we're to think also of spiritual and soul murder in that commandment as well. Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. He speaks in absolute terms, perhaps to emphasize how urgent this is. It's as if there should be no thought whatsoever for earthly things. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. The body will die and go into the grave, but the soul is immortal and will exist forever and ever and ever. So we are not to put our mind to the things of this life, totally absorbed by it and nothing else. We need to, we find ourselves going in that direction, constantly remind ourselves to look beyond these temporal things. Think of our higher needs, that we would hold this world with a loose hand as if any moment we were to let go and pass into eternity. The time is coming when that will happen. It may be sooner than we realize. The, the looser our affections are towards the things here below, the easier it will be to let go when we are called to it. We are to work heartily, yes, but the apostle says that's for the Lord and not for men. We're to be giving our energy to our work. We're to be putting our hand to it with our might, but that is for God's glory. That's not so that we can acquire a massive wealth and get a name for ourselves in this world. No, it's for the glory of God and his kingdom. And the Lord knows that we have need of the things of this life. Jesus himself says, "Your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." But the things of earth are not to be grasped at as the ultimate end. God is the chief end of man. The chief end of man is to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. And it is God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, who tells us, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." And so we are warned about the pursuit of earthly things as if they were the ultimate goal in life. We are warned most sternly, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" Isaiah 55, verse 2. Millions are chasing after perishables, chasing after things that will perish with the using. They're like people grabbing at fake bread. We've all heard about fake news. Well, there's fake bread all around us. It's not spiritual, sustaining bread. It's not real. It's not lasting. So why are we pursuing it as if it were the ultimate goal in life? This is a warning for those who are pursuing earthly good as if they were heavenly goods. The things of this life, we all know, I hope we all know, that they won't ultimately satisfy us. The pleasures of this life are not only short, but when we have enjoyed them a little, then we go away from them empty again, or we come back to it as if we had never experienced it. We have to keep coming to it to get the enjoyment of it. It's like shadows that come and go, or like a dream that we wake up to and then we despise it because it was unreality. Now, this very day, people are longing for satisfaction in having lots of pleasure, enjoying one thing or another, or just indulging their senses or their sloth, or whatever it may be, the games, or movies, or whatever it is. But how many are seeking Christ as their portion, as their happiness, as David, who said, "God is my chiefest joy"? People are laboring as in the fire, because what they follow after is being burned up in the using. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Do not pursue these things with your whole soul. There must be a reserve of the heart towards God. In fact, God must have all our heart. And whatever we enjoy in this life, we're to be enjoying God in the midst of it. Enjoy all things in him. If we seek earthly things and don't seek the Lord, if we seek earthly things with our whole heart, well, we will perish as well. This bread is perishing, this world is perishing, but if we hold it and won't let it go, we will perish with it. We're called upon to repentance. We're called upon to a change of mind, to a different view of things, to see reality, to see Christ as the ultimate blessedness and the chief joy of the soul. It's Christ and him crucified. And he's calling us to labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He gives us blessedness to all eternity. So in the second place, let us consider the labor for everlasting fullness. We must not labor for what is perishing, but labor for what is lasting. And that is the food that Christ gives us, the spiritual food, because the word meat is simply food in the original. It's not the flesh of animals, but food in general. Labor not for the food which perisheth, but for that food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. We must take the food that is eternal. We must labor for that food that the Son of Man gives us. The Son of Man, as I mentioned, the Lord uses a title, or I was referring to that when I mentioned that God incarnate is speaking to us. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God, but he became the Son of Man. God was clothed in our nature. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He did not cease to be God when he became man, but he continued to be both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Labor for the meat, the food which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And the Lord uses the word give in the way that he uses it in verse 51. If you look at verse 51, we read, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If a man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So he gives his flesh. And how does he give his flesh? He gives his flesh in death, his body to be broken, his blood to be shed. And so the Lord Jesus is telling us that he is going to die for sinners. He is going to give his life a ransom for many in order to endure the wrath of God, to satisfy the justice of God, turning away God's wrath from sinners by taking it all himself, standing in the room in place of the guilty. Friends, is this not what we so greatly need? The life of Christ in death for sinners who deserve death. How we should look to him who is that spiritual bread, the living bread, so that if we receive him, we will not die but live forever. This is the true bread. This is what Jesus is telling us in verse 32. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. God the Father gave to sinners his own Son to suffer and die for them, to take their place. He's giving Christ in the gospel, holding out hope for sinners like us, that we will receive him and we would spiritually feed upon him and have him in our souls and be delivered from the wrath to come. That's the gospel offer. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. And this is how a man can live forever and not die, by receiving Christ, resting on him, resting on the Lord Jesus for salvation. That a man may eat thereof and not die. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes, this is the food that endures to everlasting life. This food does not perish. It abides, it continues, it endures. Even when the mountains of the earth are being worn down, some of them are, yet this is the bread, the spiritual bread that continues. The gospel is still offered. Christ goes on and lives and abides in the heart of those who have him, those who believe in him, and they live forever in heaven. And none perish that trust in him. So we're to receive the bread which came down from heaven. Receive Christ, because it endures forever. The Lord Jesus is telling us to work, to labor. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. The Lord Jesus is calling us to labor for it. No, not that we can earn it. We don't work in order to receive wages. We don't work for salvation as if we can earn it and lay claim to it as something that we have achieved and we have merited for ourselves. That is not what is meant by the word work. But we are to work or labor in the sense of pushing through obstacles to our salvation. Are there not obstacles to our salvation? Is not the world calling for our attention? We must strive to resist the world's call. Is not Satan putting stumbling blocks in front of us, trying to blind us to the sincerity of Christ's call? The world, the flesh, and the devil, our own flesh, unbelief rising up against us. We're to strive against it. Labor for the meat that endures to everlasting life. Labor to oppose what hinders our salvation. We must put forth effort and strive to enter in at the straight gate. It is not by sloth, but by diligence that we enter in and we have the kingdom of grace in our hearts. It is by the diligent use of the means of grace. It is not by sloth. It's not by idleness. It's not by allowing our minds to rove and wander about anything under the sun, but to concentrate and focus with our soul's attention to be all absorbed in seeking the salvation of our souls. If you're not all absorbed in seeking the salvation of your soul, then you might blame yourself for not being saved. Those who want to be saved, those who are saved, are seeking salvation as the most important thing, and everything else is secondary. We must labor for it. We must put our mind to it as the one thing needful. And everything else is second place. That means job, career, our property, even our family. It is Christ first. That's the teaching of Christ himself. And you can think of verses to prove it. You all have heard this before. We must exercise self-denial in everything. Everyone must become second to Jesus Christ. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Labor for this. We're to be in dead earnest. It is serious business because it is a matter of life and death, spiritual life and spiritual death. So our hearts must be engaged. It is not by being in a dull and careless frame. That is not how to seek eternal life. But it is by earnest striving. Remember, the Israelites failed to enter into the land of promise. And he explains there in Hebrews chapter 4 that it is by faith that we enter into God's rest. And that is true. We are saved not by working. We are saved by receiving and resting on Christ for salvation. We do not earn salvation. And faith itself, saving faith, is simply resting upon Christ for salvation. But then the apostle goes on to say, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Is that a contradiction? He says we enter by faith, and then he says labor to enter. Well, put the two together. Labor to believe. Endeavor to believe. It's not by idleness that a person believes. It's by having Christ before him or her, and focusing the mind's attention and endeavoring to trust in him, telling our souls we must have Christ or we will perish in our sins. Have you ever felt that in your soul? Oh, it's time to feel it. It is Christ or I die. I must have Christ or will perish forever. So we are commanded to labor, to enter into that rest. Jesus says, labor for the meat which endureth. It's labor to have him. Labor to have me, he is saying. If you desire me, you must labor to have me. You must strive against the obstacles. You must oppose the world, the flesh, and the devil calling you back. You must strive like Pilgrim who said, life, life, eternal life, putting his fingers in his ears and closing his ears to the call of the world. Labor to enter into that rest, endeavor to believe, put our minds to it. We're called upon to labor because naturally we are lazy and slothful. And the last thing we are doing is seeking the Lord with all our heart. We're so slothful and so cold, but friends, there's no such thing as cold saving faith. No, we need hearts that are alive and roused to attention and giving all our heart to this matter. Labor for the meat, the food which endureth to everlasting life. We're to receive Christ, rest on him for salvation. Let's not forget that that is what is being illustrated by feeding upon Christ. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That is John 6:51. And so for a moment, let's think about that. That if we are hungry for literal food, we cannot benefit from it while just watching it on the table. Just seeing it on the table is not going to benefit us. We have to have it in our bodies. We must receive it into our mouths and be nourished by it within us. And so just hearing about Christ and just knowing that he is offered to us is not going to benefit us. We must have him in our souls. We must receive him by faith. The mouth of faith must receive Christ. The hand of faith must take Christ. Take, eat. Jesus says, "This is my body." And we're to receive the body and blood of Christ spiritually into our souls. That's by faith, relying on him, in our souls depending on him. So we must go to him in our hearts. We must rely on and rest on him in our souls. Rely on him mentally, lovingly. That's what God calls us to. That is what Jesus is telling us, that a man may eat thereof spiritually. Take Christ to our souls. Rely on him mentally and spiritually and lovingly as our spiritual food for our everlasting welfare. We must labor for this spiritual food because it's the only hope of salvation. And we're all on the way to eternity. We will all meet our Maker. The wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. We all deserve to perish. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's only in him, in Christ. It's not outside of Christ, but in him that we are saved. As the Lord Jesus tells us, "For him hath God the Father sealed." So finally, in the third place, briefly, the Lord Jesus, who is sealed by God the Father. For him hath God the Father sealed. What does it mean the Father has sealed Jesus Christ, his Son? Well, think about what is sealed. It is that which is important. The signet is pressed into the wax, leaving an impression. And it's more or less a permanent thing in human terms. And what is more important than that is the fact that it is visible. It is telling us that this belongs to the owner. It is set apart. It is authentic. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Him hath God the Father sealed. The Father has sealed his Son, Jesus Christ, in this way to assure us that he has come from God as the alone Savior of sinners. God has set him apart. God has set Jesus apart as the Redeemer of his people. He has marked him out as God's appointed mediator. And this sealing is in his baptism. And that was the time when a voice from heaven confirmed it, that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The miracles, I believe, were a sealing of Jesus Christ. They proclaimed him as sent by the Father, and that he was commissioned to do this great work of salvation. So in all these ways, it has been made clear that Christ has been appointed by the Father. And the words literally are, him hath the Father sealed God. That is, God himself has sealed him. None less than God himself has set apart Christ and declared him to be the Savior of lost sinners. And therefore there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No one else is qualified, no one else is suitable. Only Jesus is both God and man to reconcile God and man. Only Christ can meet the demands of the law and the justice of God in the place of untold number of sinners. What does this mean to us? It is telling us the urgency of seeking Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. We can never say, well, God is merciful to all and everyone enjoys his mercy every day. The sun rises upon the just and the unjust. That is true, but that doesn't save us. Only Jesus Christ saves us. The sun shining out there is not going to save anybody. It's the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone who saves sinners. So we must seek him above all things and strive to enter in at the straight gate. Come to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that is the great ultimatum. Jesus is telling us, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Do we not understand more clearly? Surely we can understand why Jesus is telling us, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. But those who do not seek him, they will perish. Those who do not strive to enter into the straight gate, those who do not labor to have Christ for their souls as the one thing needful, the most important matter, Jesus is telling them, they will perish in their sins. They will not taste of his supper. They will go down, down into the abyss of eternal ruin, enduring the torments of a lost eternity. How we must labor for the meat, the food, the spiritual bread that endures to everlasting life. God is giving us time and space to seek him. And we should lay to heart these things as we come to the end of a year. We should ponder the shortness, not only this year, but our whole life. Burying our head in the sand is utter folly. But millions are turning a blind eye to the claims of God, turning a blind eye to the reality of the eternal destinies of men. They're closing their ears to God's summons, and they're moving down that road that goes down to eternal destruction. But let us pray, friends, that we will be delivered from that broad way, that we would be brought firmly planted on that narrow way that leads to life, that we would also be as trees planted by the Lord, trees of righteousness, bearing fruit, giving the evidence that we're God's children, that we are on that narrow way that leads to life. How we should pray for the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, that we would behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his holy temple. Pray that God would bless us and we would not let him go except he blesses us. And go on laboring, fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil, believing in Christ with all our heart and with all our house, fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil, no matter what the enemy tells us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is most important. Jesus tells us this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. And for our encouragement, consider how people often pursue the things of this life with all their might and still don't arrive at it. They just still don't get what they were yearning after. But those who seek spiritual blessings, those who labor for the spiritual food, they shall enjoy it. They can't miss it. Those who sincerely seek Christ, they will have him, and they will never be deprived from him. Like Mary, Jesus said, she hath chosen that better part, and it shall never be taken from her. The Lord Jesus might, in his sovereignty, delay the sense of having him as your portion and the satisfaction within, but that's only to sharpen your appetite and increase your longings. And he will at last come and satisfy your soul. He will give you liberty and joy. If you seek him, you will have him, and you will have him forever. God's people want to feed upon Christ and seek him continually. And they also need their hearts stirred up through the preaching of the word or meditation and prayer, stirring our hearts up, stirring us up to seek Christ and to have him and to know that we have him is our highest joy. So may God's people this day abide in Christ and lean on the Beloved. Look to him for comfort and grace and fruitfulness. And we will conclude with these words in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. May our prayer be, Lord, evermore give us this bread. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, enable us to truly benefit from thy word. May we lay these things to heart as our most important concern and that which has most weight in our hearts and minds. Oh, that we would labor for the spiritual bread, that we would come to Christ, desiring him above all things, knowing that apart from him there is nothing but spiritual and eternal death. But in him may we be satisfied. May we have full contentment, knowing that in Christ we have all our true needs met. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Bless us, O Lord, keep us. Keep us from evil. Help us to strive in love to thee and to thy people, serving thee with all the heart. Hear us now, we pray. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. And we will conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 105. Psalm 105 and verse 1. Give thanks to God, call on his name, to men his deeds make known. Sing ye to him, sing psalms, proclaim his wondrous works, each one. See that ye in his holy name to glory do accord, and let the heart of every one rejoice that seeks the Lord. The Lord Almighty and his strength with steadfast hearts seek ye, his blessed and his gracious face seek ye continually. Psalm 105 from verse 1, these three stanzas to God's praise. Give thanks to God, call on his name.